how about we just get started on how did you get started with Rail Back on Track?
Yeah, it's an interesting tale, in fact. I'm a retired university academic. I'm a retired medical scientist, and I used to teach at Queensland University of Technology, QUT. I was also the course coordinator for the medical science degree. I used to teach haematology and blood transfusion, and my students kept coming late for pracs, and I used to say, why are you late? And they say, oh, the train was late, Bob, or the bus didn't show up. So we thought, we were talking amongst ourselves, the staff, we thought we better do something about this. This was about 2004. Brisbane was in a very bus-centric phase at that stage, and we thought we've got to do something for rail. One of the library staff thought up the name Rail Back on Track, so we thought, yeah, that's a good name. I was doing a little bit of web-based education at that stage, so it was fairly natural for me to set up a web-based forum to advocate for public transport. Very rail-focused initially, hence the name Rail Back on Track. But once we started, we rapidly sort of went to a broader public transport role because of the importance of bus in Brisbane and southeast Queensland. So we've built up about 1,000 members now on our forum. We get somewhere between 50 and 100,000 hits a day on the forum. It's a fairly active forum, and it's helpful to us to get feedback from the public, as much as our own members, to put forward suggestions for improvement. Recently, in April, we highlighted the problems with the 66 bus. Many of your listeners would use the 66 bus, and we're happy to report that there has been some improvements in the last few weeks. They're going to increase the frequency to 5 minutes, particularly in the afternoon when it was a problem and students couldn't get on. So that's the sort of thing we do. We advocate, we make noise at the bottom to allow the policy people to come in and implement the improvements.
So anyone enjoying the 66 as this goes out, we'll have to thank Rob here for pushing out the schedule. All you have to say, it's interesting that you started in hematology before moving into rail to public transport advocacy. I got to say, as myself and any other student out there who's had to rush between campuses or being late to running late on during exam period, trying to make it in with the buses all crowded out, we'd be much better to have some more supportive academic staff with us, such as yourself.
Yeah, and I used to get a little bit stressed out myself when the exam period was on and they had things like track closures. Mm. So I used to email the whole university telling them there was a track closure, because it's the last thing you want to be is late for exam. It's really quite a stressful experience, and I understand that. So we've worked on it for years now. I've always had a lifelong interest in rail, but nonetheless, the public transport advocacy work keeps me really engaged now. And the results that we've got over the years have been good. We've seen improvements in the bus network, we've seen improvements in the rail network, and also the ferry network. Light rail has been a spectacular success down the Gold Coast. We were very strong supporters of the Gold Coast Light Rail early when they were deciding whether to do light rail or bus rapid transit. But the Gold Coast is one of the world's best locations for light rail. It's a high-density longitudinal strip, effectively. So light rail works very well in that environment, and the results we've seen have been quite spectacular. So it's good to be able to advocate for improvement. As I said, we do rely on a lot of feedback from the public as well as our members. Our members are travelling constantly on the network, so we pick up problems pretty quick. But it's always good to get that public feedback as well.
Definitely. While we're on the topic of light rail, it's the kind of mode of public transport that can get pushback a lot when it tries to get built for various reasons, I think, because it occupies a lot of the same space as the roads. Can you maybe walk us, our listeners, through some of the advantages of light rail?
Yeah, light rail is interesting. I went down to Newcastle, which has just opened up a new light rail a few weeks ago, and also I went down to Canberra to have a look at their new light rail system as well. I also went on the Northwest Metro in Sydney, which is the new driverless metro. But getting back to light rail is relatively expensive to set up in the first instance. One of the most expensive parts of it is actually coping with the underground infrastructure. In Sydney, they've had spectacular problems in terms of the underground infrastructure.
That's putting it lightly.
Yeah, sewerage and electrical, things like that. A lot of it's not even indicated on plans, so it's sort of like dig and discover, and that adds a lot of cost and makes it very complicated. It's the underground civil engineering works which are really quite complicated, and that was the experience they had with the Gold Coast Light Rail as well, going through Surfers Paradise. It's a similar situation. Once the civil engineering stuff underground is sorted, laying the tracks is relatively straightforward. The advantage of light rail, though, it's permanent. So this tends to lead to improved opportunities for residential and commercial development along that light rail route, because it's not going to move. A bus route can change overnight. Light rail, once it's there forever, you know, unless they close the system, obviously. But that tends to drive increased commercialisation along that corridor. We've seen that in the Gold Coast. We're seeing it in Canberra, and we're starting to see it in Newcastle, which is the recent light rail, new light rail in Australia. So it is a very good mode. You might be interested to know that when Brisbane had their trams, Brisbane trams were extremely efficient. It wasn't a big network. It was only about 100 kilometres all up in total route distance. But 1945, Second World War, that tram network carried 150 million passengers. Now, that's a lot. Now, consider today, our public transport system's only carrying about 182 all up. That's all of southeast Queensland. Rail carries about 54 million passengers a year. Brisbane buses, about 96 million passengers a year. So, to give you an idea how efficient trams can actually be, light rail, 150 million, 1945. Marvellous.
It is an incredible... When you just break it down like that, the advantages become very, very obvious. I think... from all the way from the trams up to the new rail developments here in Brisbane, I think the key thing that we've sort of drawn out in this discussion has been the need to plan for the fact that rail is permanent and exists for such a long time means that when you do construct it, you have an opportunity to build for the next 50 years, 100 years sometimes.
Yeah, rail's 150, 200 year type thing.
Exactly. So very big deal to, you know, build it right, build it good, and build it in such a way that allows for sort of future development.
Yep.
In, you know, your own, you know, you get to wave a magic wand. What does public transport in Brisbane look like in 10, 20, 50 years?
Okay. What we'll see is further development of the surface network. Cross River Rail will be embedded and functional. The Brisbane Metro, which is running the bi-articulated buses on the busway infrastructure, essentially, but fixing up that problem area through the Cultural Centre, Victoria Bridge, be much more efficient. One of the benefits of the Brisbane Metro bi-articulated bus plan is that it will free up more buses to be put out in the suburbs so we can have more cross-suburban bus routes, which is something we really need badly. Often, if you go from one suburb to another, you have to go via the CBD, which is silly.
Mm.
So it'll be more buses will be available to do local cross-suburban runs, but importantly, more buses to feed railway stations. We need much better feeder bus networks. The Brisbane Metro is going to allow that to a degree. Outside of Brisbane itself, we need to improve bus frequency. We need to improve the feeder bus networks. We need to improve the span of operation. That is what time they start in the morning, they can start earlier, and they have to finish later. Make public transport the real option. After the Brisbane Metro is done, Cross River Rail's done, the next thing for Brisbane is a true underground metro railway. It will probably run from roughly Toowong Indooroopilly, west-east, going underneath Brisbane, out to Newstead, Newfarm, out that way. That will be the first... line, if you like, of the true underground metro. Believe it or not, there is a broad plan for this at Transport and Main Roads already, right? In concept only, but that's what you're looking at. Because when you think about it, with the Brisbane Metro bi-articulated bus plan, with Cross River Rail, we're going to have a pretty good capacity north-south, south-north. East-west is missing a little bit, right? So that's when the new metro rail, true underground metro rail, will come into play, and I guarantee you it'll be an automatic driverless metro, the same as what I was on a few weeks ago in Sydney on the Northwest Metro, and that was really, really exciting to go on that. I was up the front, of course, and I did some videos. If people go to our Facebook, Rail Back on Track, they'll find a video sitting up in front of the metro. It just shows you, though, how fast things are developing. Sydney and Melbourne are making huge investments in mass transit, public transport at the moment. We need to do the same here. We've got a little bit more time than what they've got. They've got serious congestion issues. We've got congestion issues, but they're not quite as bad as what they are in Sydney and Melbourne. With a bit of smart thinking and planning now, we need to get further railways done. We need to get the extension from Springfield Central through to Ripley North. For a start, there's a rail corridor there reserved. We need to get the railway from Salisbury to Bow Desert, which will service both Flagstone and Yarrabilba. Very fast developing areas, right? They're two lines that need to be done fast. The other thing that needs to happen is the Sunshine Coast line north of Beerburrum needs to be upgraded. The state government's having a few little political disagreements with the federal government at the moment about funding. Let's put that aside. Let's get it started now. Let's do Lansborough's correction. Let's do Beerburrum to Lansborough now. We've got enough money budgeted for it in the state budget. Let's do it. That would make a big impact on the reliability and the ability to run more trains on the Sunshine Coast. The other thing that needs to be done is the heavy rail from Biewa. Once you do Beerburrum to Lansbury, then you can do CAMCOS, it's called. It is the railway that runs from Biewa to Maroochydore, heavy rail. They're the three things that really need to happen at the moment, or four actually. You've got Sunshine Coast, CAMCOS, which is the line from Biewa to Maroochydore, extension of Springfield Central Railway, Salisbury to Bow Desert. Now, if those things are done, we can link up the rest with good bus connections. We'll have a very good backbone for a public transport network. Then you can look at things like the underground metro in Brisbane to improve that capacity, particularly west, east, east-west. And in time, there'll be further extensions to that network.
That sounds like a great vision to me.
It is. That was Robert Dow. And, yeah, really good context information around how this network works.
We definitely want to have him back as well to expound further. I mean, just this endless source of knowledge about anything to do with public transport.
He's a clever bloke. I've seen him plenty of times on the Rail Back on Track forums. He knows what he's talking about, you know, and he's really passionate and he cares about it. I think it's great.
And he's committed to getting it out. He's one of those people who does know basically everything about it, but is incredibly, has just so much time to tell people about it.
Yeah, it's just an amazing resource, and there'll be so many opportunities to have these conversations because new projects do come along all the time, and to be able to discuss all of them, it would take us forever, but we're certainly going to get him back.
And if anyone has any questions about public transport, I encourage you to reach out to him on the Rail Back on Track Facebook page or railbackontrack.org.
Indeed. So we're just going to cut away to a song. I went through the library.